Welcome back to the Hard Ball Gets podcast. Of course, this is a Loose Ballers edition. My name's Avery. I was joined by Dylan Buckley. On today's podcast, we go through the small misdemeanor I had being the focus of Caro's arrow last night. We refresh and chat about last week's games and our predictions. We have a quick chat about suspensions and finals. Should you get a little bit more leniency from the tribunal? We touch on this week's game, and of course, we dive into our new segment called Storytime. Of course, if you do want to be involved in Storytime and be the complete package, please hit us up on our socials, dive in and get involved with this new podcast that Dylan and I are loving and getting involved in ourselves. Of course, this is brought to you by Mazda. It's the complete package inside and out.
Xavier Ellis, it's always good to see you, my friend. How are you?
I'm going well. I always like to check in on my East Coast mates, especially living in Melbourne. I did speak to you on Saturday in a private conversation where you were eating a fair bit of bread just to sort of strengthen the inner lining of your stomach. How was your weekend? Someone's out in Melbourne. What did you get up to?
Mate, the sun was out, and you're right, I was munching down on a bit of a loaf of dark sourdough with a bit of seeds, just to line the stomach. I actually had a bit of Lurpak on there as well, which I've learned from you, which was beautiful, mate. Line the stomach, as you know, when you're planning and bidding a few beers with the boys, it's always good to line the stomach.
What is that Lurpak stuff?
You haven't had Lurpak? Oh, it's fancy.
No, I have it in my fridge. I have it in my fridge. I never use it. I skip it.
You'd be a margarine boy, I'm guessing.
Yeah, or just that block butter, you know, the block stuff that you just slice off the side.
No. Lurpak is next level, mate. It's the upper echelon of butters. It's for the rich and famous.
Yeah, I find it a bit oily. It just looks a bit oily from my angle, and I quite enjoy not having acne and
it's an acquired
and stuff,
taste. So.
Okay, I like it. I like it. Anything else happening in your life, mate, we need to know about?
No, just went to the fridge today. Also went to the toilet earlier. Played with my dog a little bit in the lounge room. Now I'm just in my office. That's about it.
Are you still 5Ks, aren't you?
Yeah. Still just inside, which is nice. The weather actually turned pretty cold, so I haven't really left the house today, which is great.
Mate, I've got a couple of mates over east who swear that their relationships just become a fair bit tighter. Actually, as a positive with their better half, everything is strengthening under the restrictions.
Mate, my relationship is absolutely fantastic as long as I don't talk too much. She's happy. Like if I sort of like one way I can really start the bad way is in the morning. If I'm too happy and I say good morning too many times, sort of is the write off for the day. So I've just got to make sure that I ease into the day, let her just do her thing early and sort of just a few comments here, there, and just say, how you going? And then by dinner time, we can have the conversations.
Yeah, defrosted by dinner time. It's like when I was a junior dealing my first year, Chance Bateman, I used to just froth Changer. I used to sit next to him every time I can. I love Chang. Anyway, I got on the plane. I had to sit next to him one day and I sat down and I go, "G'day, Chang, how are you, mate?" And I'm a bit of a chatterbox. And he goes, "Good, X," and that's one. I said, "What's that?" He goes, "That's two. And you've got three questions and you have to shut the fuck up for the rest of the flight." And I'd use two in the first 30 seconds.
Yep. That's my missus, 100%. I have about a cap of five questions a day and that's about it.
Yeah, nice. It's been an interesting day for me, Dil.
I know that, Xavier. Talk me through it, my friend. It's obviously national news over here.
Oh, is it national news? Christ. No, and I do apologise again. I've said this multiple times, if anyone did take offence. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, on Saturday night I made a comment in the broadcast that Emily is booked in for her cesarean on Derby Day this year, and I said that after JB asked me when my much better half is giving birth, I said, it's scheduled for Derby Day and I'll be watching the races while she gets to work. It may be a poor attempt at humour, but I wound up on Caro's arrow on Footy Classified last night and got hit with the arrow fairly hard, straight between the eyes. I actually felt really sick because I was more worried that I may have offended my wife, who obviously I care about the most. But she was infuriated by the topic and probably the suggestion that I am part of a boys club and, you know, the misogynist sort of angle. So, yeah, it's been a busy day for me, obviously doing breakfast radio as well. I had to field a few questions there. But as I said, mate, the only people I care about are fully supportive. Yeah, if I had my time again, I wouldn't have said it, or I would have worded it a bit differently. We had just came out of hospital that day as well. So there was a few things going on. But yeah, it was one of those ones, Dylan, that you live and you learn. Times have changing, and probably it was a joke that may have been deemed by some that was inappropriate or whatever it was. But I can definitely say that the relationship I have with my wonderful wife, it's quite a jovial one. And after our first birth went for 24 hours, the context of the races was what I'll probably be doing again. If it's a 24-hour birth, I'll probably be watching the races. But yeah, there it is. On a nutshell, I've apologised on Twitter. The majority said there's nothing to apologise for, but obviously you don't want to offend any. You're a bit like me, Dil. You don't like hurting it. You know, you don't like causing mischief or anything like that.
I hate offending people, and of course, as well, mate. As well as you said, that the last thing you ever want to be known as a male is a part of a boys' club or misogynistic, and it's not what today's society is about, especially with the movements that are happening, and we all do, you know, respect that. But sometimes you've got to check and make sure we're in the right stock. And you know, as long as your wife knows, nothing was said by it. But you're right, you know, you always stress that someone's going to be offended by comments. But like I said, mate, you live and you learn, and you're an extremely good man with great character. I know this won't define you whatsoever at all. So we live and we learn, and we move on, and we press on, and we say our sorries, and we go on.
That's right, and I still do stand pretty firmly that I think people are outraged a lot at the moment. So sometimes people overstep the mark, sometimes people just need to have a breathe. And, so there you go, Dylan. And that's been my day. I've had a few phone calls with some people, and we press on. And everyone's been super supportive, and the amount of DMs and private messages I've had I've never felt like I've been as loved and supported as much. So there you go. That's been my day today. And hopefully there's a story breaking somewhere else tomorrow. And what do they say? Today's newspapers, tomorrow's fish and chip wrapper. So can you do anything tonight? Can you go get arrested or something, Dil?
I just walk outside and get arrested in Victoria at the moment. So
yes.
It's not if you don't too take much your mask, of a breaking law. Yeah, if I don't wear my mask, I'll be locked up.
Oh, mate, how'd you – we'll move into the footy stuff. How'd you find the first week of finals?
Mate, I absolutely loved it. That Port Adelaide Geelong game was huge. Absolutely love that. Oh, yeah. I know we tipped Port, but I just didn't see that coming, to be honest. They were on.
How hard?
I thought that they would slow down after the week off, but it was even harder. They were better for the break.
Mate, they are so hard at the football. It is unbelievable how hard they are at the footy. And it's led, I think, personally by a second-year player to a degree and someone who I think has been a little bit maligned. And Sam Pelpepa is another one who he could kill a human on the footy field. But Butters for me is this young, he'd be 19, 20. He's as hard as a cat's head. We were texting during that game, and it was not like the shock of the brand of footy they were playing, just the reckless nature they were playing.
It was finals footy, wasn't it? It was just all bodies in, kick the ball off the ground, get that like just momentum forward, and the boys went so well. But one guy that I loved on the weekend, he was my finals player that we showed about last week, but Darcy Byrne-Jones. I just love him. I have a crush on him. It's something that this infatuation, even when he ran, you know, they clashed into Danger, and Danger probably knocked him over, but split Danger's head open on the field and just got straight back up. And he's just like, you know, come on, I just want more.
I can just picture his brain bouncing around in his head too. Like when he just shakes it off and off he goes
he's
again.
Just like a wet dog.
Oh, there was one thing that made that final for us. Like, obviously, the footy was great. But having a crowd of, was it 25,000 or 20,000 at Adelaide Oval, how much does that add to football? The nature of that, you know, warfare in the crowd, it was, you know, we're here with you. That lifted that Port Adelaide side unbelievably.
100%. You realise now early, you know, in your career and even with members, they always say, you know, the game is nothing without the fans. And you sort of think that might be something to do with memberships and stuff. But you actually realise this year, the game is nothing without supporters. Yeah. It is genuinely nothing. Like watching a game at Metricon with no one in the stands is hard to watch. Like you really, really discover your love for footy when you see it at Adelaide Stadium. They're all singing the song. The crowd's going mental. And even, you know, at Perth Stadium on the weekend, like that was absolutely huge.
Mate, and I think there was a thing with Port Adelaide. You know, they sing that In Excess song.
So good.
So we had a ploy at West Coast. So they feed off that so much. Like they wait for you to get into positions. You're isolated. You're by yourself. And then you've got naturally 50,000 normally screaming, you know, Port Adelaide fans with their scarves up, 20-odd, whatever it was, on the weekend. But we used to delay our exit from our huddle. So they want to get the song going to really build up the players. But we used to keep the huddle together as long as we possibly could so that when we did disperse, by that stage, the song was done, the roar was done, and then there was like a bit of a flat patch before the first centre bounce. I don't know. That was a ploy that we used to implement over at Adelaide Oval. And they've had a good record over there. I'm not saying it's the be-all and end-all, but interesting how, like, the shit that you think about in footy clubs is, like, let's not leave the huddle early so the In Excess song doesn't pump them up too much.
Yeah, but I get pumped listening to that song, and like the you feel like you're watching, you know, Liverpool in the EPL when they're singing it. Whoever came up with that idea, I don't know if it was Koshy or whoever it was, but they deserve a pay rise because that is marketing 101.
Oh, and now no other club can really do it. Like
you can't.
Sydney can't do it.
They do
idea.
Sweet Caroline.
Yeah. Three quarter time, don't they? Is that
half time, whatever it is? Yeah.
No, you're right. It is there. So, all right, we did tip Port Adelaide over Geelong, which is one to us. We also doubled down on the Lions at home, didn't we, over the Tigers. So, 2 from 2, what did you make of that outing?
Loved it, mate. I would have loved to have seen Tom Lynch out there as well just because of the Mitch Robinson, Tom Lynch thing. I'd totally forgotten about that pre-game, and that was the first one back. But I might even have a sick thought in my mind that footy works in mysterious ways sometimes. I think that like Brisbane and Richmond could still possibly meet in the granny and it could happen again, but Richmond will just go bang, bang, bang.
Who say we're ringing the bell and they've got the gloves on, Mitch Robinson v Tom Lynch. Who wins in that situation?
Gee whiz. Robbo's can swing him. I've never played with Tom Lynch. He's a very big boy and he's so hard at it in the pack. But Robbo, I think he actually boxes. So I don't know if Tom Lynch boxes. Robbo actually does do a bit of boxing. But Tom Lynch has got a massive reach too. But geez, who knows? I'd like to see it on grand final day, that's for sure.
Did you ever box?
Well, I just boxed them. I didn't really box with my gloves. I just caught them with my mouth.
Yeah. Yep. No, that makes sense. I've done that before too. We used to have boxing fights and bloody tournaments and Jesus Christ. Hey, Jared Lyons from Brisbane. Jared Lyons from Brisbane. Has there been a better draft pick from another club? And obviously you and I are out of the conversation. We can't vote for ourselves. But from one club to another and the price you've paid for Jared Lyons is bugger all. He had another 24 disposals, most on the grounds on Friday night, and literally just led the way when Lachie Neale was battling away and got into the game. But Jared Lyons, 7 clearances, most touches on the ground. What a selection.
Jared Lyons pisses me off. He was delisted pretty – I don't know if he was delisted from Adelaide, but I think he wasn't given a contract there. Went to Gold Coast, pretty much delisted from Gold Coast, went to Brisbane. Now he's what, the game's best midfielder. Like, mate, seriously, like when I got delisted, I got 2 more games. Like that shit really annoys me, but I'm happy for him. I'm really
happy
for him.
Someone reaches their potential.
Seems like an absolute, he seems like a great guy, which is disappointing, but it's an incredible story, man. Like I can't believe how well he's playing. Well, I can because he's doing it, but I'd love to sit down and talk to him about like how it all happened because it just seems so strange. Like it was never like he was never a bad player, but he just went from, you know, just being an average AFL player, which is still elite, to just being absolutely, you know, crazy. And I just want to know what that step was. Was it Chris Fagan coming in? Was it just, you know, a new role, but like a freshen up? But I suppose he had that at Gold Coast. I don't know, right time, right place. What it's sort of saying to me is if I played for Hawthorn, probably would have won 4 flags.
Well, I think that's what – I think a lot of people have suggested that, Dill, if you were playing – so if Cyril went to Carlton and you went to Hawthorn, it would have been a different story in that small forward pocket role.
Exactly right.
I think – and I don't know if this is right and I don't know if I'm speaking out of line. I'm pretty sure it's been documented. I think Gold Coast – so Jared Lyons had a year left on his contract but was not going to play a lot of football. Gold Coast had made their mind up they were going to go down a different direction with their kids. Mm. And Jared Lyons came to them and said, I've got 3 years on the table at Brisbane. And it was maybe a bit of a goodwill thing to say, okay, yeah, scrap our contract, you can go to Brisbane, but went for nothing. So, I mean, it's an interesting one, and he's become a good player. And now Gold Coast have done it twice now. Jack Martin obviously left for nothing, and so is Jared
and
Lyons.
And Archie as well.
Yeah, another one up the road. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, but Brisbane Lions have definitely done well out of those inclusions for bugger all. We'll quickly whip through the last two, mate. The Bulldog Saints, another 3-point victory to St Kilda. That was a classic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, mate. That was actually, to be honest, probably my second favourite game of the round. Not that I had never – like, Paddy Ryder is obviously a fantastic player. Like, he's played incredible for so many years. But he – I don't think he'd ever played in a final coming into that game. And he won that
game
off his own boot.
Winning final, yeah.
He won that game off his own boot on the weekend for the Saints. Like, he was incredible.
He was
– no one – he looked like he was 6 foot bigger than any other player out in the ground. So, look, I love the Saints, but I'm worried about them next week without him, and it looks like Jake Carlisle as well, and now Ben Long, unless he gets off suspension.
Mate, Paddy Ryder, Paddy Ryder's my age. He'd be 32. He did the same thing to Nick Nat. He looked like he was bigger than Nick Nat when West Coast played against St Kilda. Like he is another one of those players that's just found another lease on life. Goodness me. But disappointing for the Bulldogs. They really haven't reached any heights since that flag, have they?
Yeah, it's a funny one because they won it so young too, didn't they? Yeah. Like it sort of seems like a little bit of that Hawthorn 08 into a couple of years off, and who knows, it might be the defining moment for them. But they've got a good list, Bulldogs. I really like a lot of their players, but St Kilda just looked good. Like their pressure was just so, so big. And just on Paddy Ryder, I'm pretty sure at the start of the year, like he wasn't even allowed to train with the Saints. Wasn't he sort of banished to like the back oval with, you know, he wasn't fit enough, and now he's come back and nearly been – you know, the best ruckman in the second half of the year.
Quite possibly. Just looking at the hitouts, 31 hitouts to 8. Tim English has sort of dropped the bundle a little bit this year, I reckon, in some games, and that's an absolute hiding again by the rucks. Ben Long, mate, you mentioned him being suspended. How do you feel around suspensions, finals? Should there be a little bit more leeway? In that case, Jack McRae got up and kept playing. Obviously, if it was you or I, we would have been on the cart and stretched it out. But lucky you hit McRae, he's a bit of a tough cookie. What do you make of it? Like you think about Trent Koch and Dylan Scheel in that prelim. Like there's a lot of incidents that go around. Do you get a little bit more leeway in finals, you reckon?
Look, I think you normally do, but I think it depends on who the player is too.
The
AFL, good call. You know, we don't want our best players in the AFL missing out on grand finals. And that's fair enough too. You know, we don't want that. Toby Green was probably the exception last year where they did everything they could to try and knock him out, which was crazy. But besides that, if you're one of the game's best players, we want you playing in the grand final. You know, Ben Long, you know, if that was someone else, you know, that was pretty similar to the Trent Cochin hit a couple of years ago. Literally, you know, the same sort of thing. But he gets off, he doesn't. I don't know. It's a tough one. If I said I knew what was going on with tribunals, I'd be lying. I don't think anyone does.
Did you get suspended?
No. I had 3 fines, and I never liked paying fines because basically that was just playing for free, which is fine.
Payment.
But you know, but like you work so hard to get into the team, you're wrapped to get that matchy, and then
you spend them in your head too, don't you?
Yeah. I remember John Barker. I was played on Cyril Rioli one night. Don't ask me how it went, but he's like, mate, whatever happens, we'll pay your fine. You know, if you really want to get into him, I couldn't even get near him, so there was no way I was going to get fined on him. But the amount of fines that Carlton said they were going to pay for me, which they didn't, it was 3. So,
I was fined once for kneeing. I kneed Joe Danaher, and it was like I slid in, and I got the ball, and they said, oh, actually, a 1500 lighter. What do you want to do with it? Da da da. I said, look, I think we should challenge it. And Craig Vozzo goes to me, you are 3 millimeters from nearly crushing your skull with that knee. I think we pay the 1500 and leave. I was like, get the checkbook, 1500 coming your way. I'd love to know where the fines money goes, to be honest. I don't even know where it goes.
It's so sad. And I've just remembered my last fine, to be honest. How's this for my last fine? I got my last game at Giants. I kicked 2.
Yeah.
Reverse headbutted someone, got fined, yeah, and got dropped. So not only did I get dropped and I was on rookie wages, I didn't get to pay my money. I didn't get paid my money. I got fined, yeah, got dropped, and then 3 weeks later got delisted. So that was probably the last fine I got, which was flattening. But you're right, I don't know where that money goes, man. It must be a lot.
No, it's like the AFL Grand Final. When you're on bugger all wage and get a fine, like the AFL Grand Final, if you weren't paid high at West Coast like myself, you literally paid money to play in that Grand Final, to get tickets for people, to get your family on a plane, Virgin of sponsors. But, oh, shit, no, you'll be paying through your teeth to get everyone over if you want to watch the game of footy. Honestly, you turn up, you get paid a little matchy, and you're 15 grand lighter. I think JK was 10 or 12 grand trying to get – you know, people there in and from WA, where I was a little bit fortunate. My family obviously in Victoria, so it was a drive as opposed to a flight. But oh no, Jesus Christ! Think they'd look after you? I wouldn't have thought so. We interrupt this podcast to introduce a new segment. It's called BT50's Heavy Lifters of the Week. It's pretty simple. It's your thoughts, your opinions from what you've noticed in the first week of finals or what's going on at your local football club. It's such an easy concept. Email us or simply slide into our DMs on our socials, Hardball Gets. Please write in, let us know what your opinions, thoughts are of what's going on in the footy world. You might also want to nominate a local legend or simply tell a story. It's a simple concept. It's BT50's Heavy Lifters of the Week. All right, mate, let's move to the one that broke your heart, obviously being a West Coast secondary supporter. Yeah. Maggie's too good. And we didn't tip it, so we're 2 from 4 on the weekend.
Mate, I was pretty confident with the Eagles, especially till like the last 5 minutes too. Like, I genuinely just thought they were going to get it and win. And I actually thought, like, I feel like West Coast copped a lot of slack after the game. I didn't think they played that bad. One thing that did confirmed to me, and after a few cordials, I was messaging you. I know you're working, but Liam Ryan,
yeah,
that's if West Coast Eagles won, that would go down as one of the good, like the great finals games. He was incredible.
Oh, it was brilliant, wasn't it? And a kick either way. Like, the West Coast JK could have kicked one of those 2 on his left and they win, and all of a sudden it's a galvanizing victory. You lose and you finish 8th and it looks like an absolute disaster. But yeah, I wasn't so bullish about West Coast still, only on the couple of factors. Last time they played, West Coast kicked 18 goals 3. Like, when is a team ever going to kick 18 goals 3 again? The inside 50s, they actually lost on that night. Scott Pendlebury pulled out in the warm-up. There was no Jordan Dugowie, and Elliot Yeo played. So there was like 5 things that I put down saying, and obviously we both selected West Coast and I thought they'd win. But I was like, it's going to be a bloody thriller. And I think what pointed to me was the most obvious thing. You hear people, coaches say it, and you know, experts in the media and stuff say, finals aren't about what your best 6 players do. It's about what your bottom 6 players can do. And just looking at, you know, Petrucelli, 3 disposals, Ainsworth, 6, Barras, who was beaten, and I probably wouldn't say he's in the bottom 6 at all, but, you know, Tom Cole, 7, Archie, 8, and Jackson Nelson, 8. Like, that's the bottom 6 players on the stat sheet. Because you don't worry about the stars. At quarter time, Dom Sheed had 0, Shuey had 1, and Kelly had 1. But eventually you know that they're going to have moments in a game. But if the bottom 6 contribute nothing, then if the stars are slightly off, then you're in a fair bit of trouble.
Yeah, you're right. Obviously, the leadership guys are always going to step up in big games, and West Coast are used to playing in big games, so they do it well. But you speak of those bottom 6 guys. Obviously, the stats weren't too high, but a stat that I like to take is an almost stat, and it's an almost possession. Yep. And those guys almost had good games. So they were almost near it. They could have got there. But, obviously it just didn't go their way on the weekend. It just didn't go their way. But in saying that as well, like, I really like Jackson Nelson. I reckon I actually played on him once against West Coast. I reckon he was nearly the hardest defender I've played on. Like, he just does not give you an inch at all. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Okay. I don't know if you want to comment on that. Maybe that was just
I never played on him ever. Never. Like he was sort of on a wing a little bit when I was there. He wasn't really a solidified defender, so I never really had much to do with Nelson as an opponent.
Pretty strong sort of guy. But like you said, mate, it's hard, isn't it? Like with playing those young boys, finals experience. I've never played in a final before, so you can talk more about it. But it's a total different game.
100%. And you could have the crowd, the 35,000 felt like 60. I reckon like they realised at Optus that they weren't going to see a footy game again this year, regardless of what happened. And they left it all on the table as well. Like they were going bananas at the umpires. And of course, you speak to them after the game and the umpires, they reckon had a fair bit to do with it. I think Collingwood were probably the better team. I think their leaders just stood up a little bit more and whatnot. But disappointing to Sal finishing eighth on the ladder, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely doesn't give them credit for the season. Like they were probably against it all year, really. Like with the injuries they had, like Elliot Yeo out of the team, I don't think people realise.
I love Elliot Yeo.
Realise how good he is, but you know, internally as well, and what he'd do for those boys is probably, you know, unforeseen how important he is to the outfit.
So we'll move on, mate. We'll go through to the finals that we've got coming up this week. Some big games and how good. Like I'll just quickly go through the score margins, like 16 points, 15 points, 3 points, 1 point were the margins for week one. You just hope week two lives up to it because it's been going absolutely unbelievable at the moment. Friday night kicks off with the Tigers v St Kilda at Metricon Stadium. The Tigers, Damien Hardwick said after the game he'd much rather play at Metricon, which surprised me. But who do you pick in this one and why?
Look, I think you can't go past the Tigers here purely just because if Saints had Ryder, Carlisle and Long playing, I'd actually be pretty confident. Like I reckon it'd be a really good game, but just with what happened with Paddy Ryder on the weekend and how good he was in the ruck, I don't think they can really go on without him, unfortunately, but I'd love to see them prove me wrong. I would absolutely love that. So I'm going to have to go Tigers in that game.
Yeah, I found Richmond are hard to get a hold of. I don't think I've seen them play really well that many times this year, but even you know in the game that just went past, like they're still hanging on. Like they're just that team where you're like, how are they going to win? And then sure enough, goes forward and Castagna pops up and kicks one, and then Rioli snaps one. And you're like, how are they in this? Then it doesn't feel like they're anywhere near it. But I'm with you. I'm with you on Richmond. But Dusty Martin jumped out of the cannon against the Lions, but sort of went missing during the middle of the game. Dusty Martin just got to play midfield. I think they don't bat deep enough, Richmond, this year. I just for some reason feel as though the lesser names aren't doing what they were doing. I reckon Dusty needs to be back in the midfield. And for Dusty to play his very best sort of brand of football where they win, if he doesn't stand out, I reckon it's a game that could swing both ways, but I'll be picking Richmond on that occasion.
Yeah, you're right. Richmond aren't in their best form, but I think that's what makes them so good just because they don't have to be in their best form to win. And you know what it's like when you're playing in a good team and you win those games where you probably shouldn't, you just know how to win. It's like a habit. That's what I think with the experience that they've got. I think that they'll probably step up over St Kilda. But in saying that again, I will confirm I would love to see St Kilda win on the weekend.
Oh, wouldn't I? And of course, the last one, the Cats coming off a loss v the Maggies coming from WA. Who you got in this one and why?
Whew, I don't know. I think I'm going to have to go Collingwood just off their performance on the weekend. Momentum, I think, is personally the biggest thing in finals. Collingwood have somehow, they're the biggest club in Australia, but they've somehow told themselves that you know, it's us versus them and, you know, no one wants them to win. When realistically, everyone wants them to win because they're the biggest club in Australia. But it's working for them. Like they absolutely love it at the moment. They've built up this, you know, this mentality and, you know, the world's against them. And I think that can, especially when you're on the road, that can only sort of forge them even tighter and tighter. So I reckon the Pies will win. And I think this could be damaging for the Cats if they lose another final just because of, you know, when they say that it's nothing in the finals, but when it keeps happening, you know, it's not good. But in saying that as well, Brad Scott or Chris Scott, I think
Chris Scott.
They keep going on about the finals that they haven't won, but he's actually won three prelims and lost one. So the favours are actually, the odds are actually in his favour.
Can I just give you a little bit of a media advice when you're talking about Chris and Brad Scott?
What's that?
Just go with Scotty. And then no one questions whether you sound like you're mates with him, and people think that you actually know what you're talking about. But I'm with you. I now know it's Chris Scott, but that's because
I go
not
Chris
the
with the Chris with a C is the Cats. That's how I try and remember.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. But you can also just go with Scotty anytime you feel free. Yep, I actually watched this game early in the season because it was over here in WA, and Collingwood were far too good on that occasion. Geelong did have some injuries. I think Selwood did his hamstring in the first minute from memory, and it was Hawkins had an off night. But I'm with you. I think Collingwood will progress from this one. There's one thing I do want to hit you up about Collingwood, mate. There was an article over here in the West called Dirty Vicks or Dirty Pies. I don't know. Did you see that article at all? And did it resonate amongst the Victorians and galvanise them?
Look, it didn't do anything for me. To be honest, yeah. They're probably right. Unfortunately, that's what's happening at the moment. It's probably pretty true. But no, it didn't hurt me. I did see it in the pregame about Collingwood. I think they picked it up and ran with it, and yeah, it's worked for them. So I don't know. Maybe the Western Australian media has really sparked on the Pies and actually got the win over the Eagles. Might not have been the best thing to do.
Mate, and it's interesting because I think the term dirty Pies, I think West Coast were also a dirty team as well. It was just the AFL term used for, or WA government term used for teams that had been in the state for less than 14 days. They were deemed a dirty team. So West Coast essentially were a dirty team until game day when they had done their 14 days. So I don't actually think it was a real shot like the Victorians took it. But anyway, if it worked, it worked. And I'm with you.
Victorians are very, very sensitive at the moment. There's no playing around with that. Just on that, Dave, you were saying last week that if West Coast lose, they have to do a quarantine now. So they are the boys in quarantine at the moment.
Yeah, they're back in quarantine. It got reduced. It was 14 days, but they negotiated to get it back down to 7. So
so they're doing their Mad Monday in quarantine, are they? Would they be having some...
Well, yeah, I spoke to Shuey. Well, Shuey sent me a photo last night, and there was a glass of wine. But I think the dads have got a fair bit of catch up to play. So,
yeah,
I mean, they've left the mums and the wives with kids and stuff like that for 4 or 5 months. It might be time that they just chip in there. So I think it's going to be pretty low key. I know that when the sun shines and they're out of quarantine, they'll all catch up and do their thing. But, yeah, and you lose. And that's actually a good point, Dill, actually, the Mad Monday stuff, because it's time for story time where we give a listener a chance to be the complete package.
It's story time.
I once ate rat droppings by mistake.
Story time is simply where you engage with us through our socials, ask a question, nominate a local hero, tell us a story. Whatever it is, it's your chance to be the complete package. Now, Dylan from Bunbury has written in, and he wants us to talk about Mad Mondays and the difference between a successful Mad Monday and an unsuccessful Mad Monday. Now, I don't think he means winning the premiership Mad Monday, but I mean, you know, win a couple of finals and you know, you've had a reasonably good season versus a complete shit show.
Yeah, well, I've got a very interesting point on this. Dylan, thank you for the question because it's very good, and I think there needs to be some insight into this. But from my experience, I played in teams that have lost grand finals, you know, but done really well in the season. And I've played in teams that have made it really far and not won the grand final. I've also played in teams that have won a lot of wooden spoons. Wooden spoons have a lot better Mad Mondays than any other team because they just knew they were never going to be a chance to win the granny. So, like, there's not really, you know, when finals don't come, they're not that flat. They're just like, well, yeah, that was probably fair enough. You know, let's just write that season off and go again next year. There's no animosity towards not making the finals. Everyone's pretty tired and just wants to, you know, have it and then leave and never see each other again. But, you know, from when you lose a grand final or you're in the finals, they're really awkward because, like, you don't know whether you should sort of be up and about or just sit there and, like, wait for someone to do something. From your experience, I'm sure you've got a better grand final and a grand final loss. So what's your opinion?
Well, the grand final losses were, I was super cut up in 2015, so I hardly really joined in, with the, with the festivities. I mean, I left the function a little bit early, and then we got back to WA. Don't be wrong, I still had a crack and whatnot, but when we won, it was 14 days of piss sinking, but it was like a controlled sort of, yeah. The advice I got after winning it was don't do anything stupid on your first night because you want to remember it and you want to be able to embrace the next day. And the next day with the fans and stuff is a wonderful experience. So that's the one. I think the one where you're successful is that you don't want to miss a moment. So you don't want to be the one that's, you know, lying on the ground, sleeping in the corner or whatever. Whereas you're right, as the losing ones and you know good and you miss the finals, your time to plan. You had Monday as well. Yeah. The most
round six, round five, six.
Yeah,
kids are already so bored.
Like when you're a good team and you lose on a final or something, you don't plan to lose. So like the text will go around the next day saying, "Oh boys, let's get together at the pub at 11 or whatever." When you're shit, you've got venues locked in.
Oh yeah.
Well in advance, like. And you've got your costumes, your ideas of what you're going to do, like a month out. There's no need to worry about finals and all that sort of biz.
No, 100%, mate. I remember that when I was at Carlton, there was never any chance of playing finals, and there was plenty of time to prepare. And trust me, if you didn't come in a good kit, you'd be paying the price. That's for sure.
Well, there's the story time question from Dilf and Bunbury. Of course, if you want to get involved, please hit us up on our socials, Hubble Gets, or email in. That's always an option as well. Dil, I reckon that might be us for the day.
Mate, it's always good to catch up with you and Joshy there. Has he been making any TikToks this week?
Joshy has the TikToks.
You know, you guys have been to an Irish pub and there's always that one mate who talks up that he's like a quarter Irish, says Guinness, hates him. Yeah. So we're playing up that as well. So
I used to live with an Irishman. He used to just drink Guinness. And I swear till I'm here and to the day I go, did not like it one bit. It was like the accent needed to be refueled by it. It was disgusting.
Apparently it's a total different drink in Australia as well. It's not even similar to what it's like in Ireland.
See, that's a classic Aussie at an Irish pub line deal. Is that, you know, it's so much in Dublin. And that one time I was there.
Is that it? Did I just do the exact thing when I was
doing?
Maybe it's about me.
Thanks, Dil. Look forward to catching up again on Tuesday next week. Again, just to refresh the tips, you've gone Richmond and the Pies, and as have I. All the best in Victoria, mate. You're bloody surely nearly out this the other side somewhere. And again, I look forward to having a beer with you when the borders do open at some stage.
It's going to be good. It's going to taste nice. And best of luck, boys. Enjoy the sunshine. I'll see you next week.
Join us again next week. Dil Buckley and myself, Xavier Ellis. Have a good week. Enjoy the footy. What a great first week of finals. Let's hope week two lives up to it. Of course, we're here thanks to Mazda. It's the complete package inside and out. Drive the brand new Mazda BT50 at your Mazda dealer.